Send your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman. Suck it, Android.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's right. We are back. And not only are we back, but we are back. All of us. The Trace Amigos, the wonderful threesome of iPhoneography. My name is Keith Tharp.
I'm Mark Sadowski.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
Oh, you left us hanging there for a bit.
What would have been great if you said, I'm Joe Ferreira.
Or Matt Ferreira.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in this week. We are going to have a brief week, a short news week, and we're going to chat about some common issues that happen to all photographers, not just iPhone photographers. And then we're going to move into our usual kind of stuff, and we will let you get back to your business. So let's start it off with our little brief news story here that Mark has some information on regarding Photo Jojo and a possibility for you to learn more about iPhone photography. Kick it off, Mark.
Well, I thought this was an interesting story. Cult of Mac picked this up, and Photo Jojo has this University for Phonography 101. It's not just iPhoneography. It's for those, other lesser ones. But it's pretty interesting. It's an online course that teaches you like your camera basics. And the cool thing is that you just let them know what kind of phone you're using, and they'll tailor the course. So, for instance, if you have a iPhone, they'll give you, the courses on composition, lighting, the experimental stuff. And if you tell them that you have an Android, they will send you a link to the Apple page.
What's interesting about it is, so it's 4 weeks with two courses per week. And they're going to email you a lesson each week that includes a challenge, aka assignment, and you go through that whole process and essentially kind of go through the course. I mean, it's not offering any kind of like college exam type of stuff, but What it does mention is that it's gonna focus on composition and lighting and stuff like that. So it's gonna be a fairly basic kind of course to kind of get your wheels spinning, which is interesting to me, because it seems to me that courses in general, whether it's iPhone photography or Lightroom management or Photoshop or any of those types of things, they always seem to key in on the basics, quote unquote basics of the thing. Get you started, get the wheels turning kind of thing. And it seems like maybe this is kind of a very target rich environment, so to speak. Where
you
where
just made a quote from Top Gun.
Where you have a lot of people that are interested in getting their wheels turning. And I mean, we were all there once, right? So, and then you get to a point where you're like, oh, I know that, but I want to learn more. I know that, and I want to learn more, and I know that, and I want to learn more. And I think that, and no offense to us, but I think that we're kind of in that same kind of pool where we try and offer as much information as possible. And sometimes our information is downright worthless, but every now and then, a bit or a little nugget of valuable information comes up. And if we can kind of add enough color around it to make it interesting, then I think that we've done a decent service.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm saying that is because I was a member, not anymore, but I was a past member of NAP. I'm not sure if you're familiar with NAP, but NAP stands for National Association of Photoshop Professionals. It's Scott Kelby's unit. And it's basically a beginning to intermediate source of information for folks about Photoshop, as well as it's kind of like the AAA of Photoshop. So you can also get discounts and troubleshooting. And if you've got a question like, how come my brush won't do this, you can send an email and you get a rather quick response about why it's not working. So I was a member there for the longest time, and I got to a point where I felt like I was I was watching 40 minutes of tutorials to get 45 to a minute and a half worth of information out of it.
Yeah.
And while that was valuable at a certain point, I felt like I wish there was a next level. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, what ends up and this is my short point for the long road. What eventually ends up happening is once the bulk of us get to that certain point where we want that elevated level of education, we're usually off learning it ourselves. You know what I mean? We've gotten to a point where we know all the basics and we can build the foundation of our further learning on our basic knowledge.
Right.
So it's harder to build a structured course on elevated knowledge because people have started to develop their own kind of skill sets and to kind of craft a next level of course for people that are beyond the basics is very difficult to get something that's encompassing of an entire class or an entire group. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's this. You know, there was a free or not free, but if you caught it while it was live, there was that live show on Creative Live with I can't remember the gentleman's name, iPhoneographer, that did, you know, basically did the same kind of thing. It's like, these are your apps and these are what you can do. And, you know, I mean, I think that in general, there's always just a plethora of information out there on the internet. You just have to kind of sift through, learn what you learn. And we've found, even doing this show, and you'll remember way back in the early days, we were thinking about bringing on some people who were going to be potential guests who were promoting themselves as having a significant amount of knowledge. And they really didn't.
Yeah. Remember that? I remember that.
Yeah, they were purporting that they had, you know, particular depths of knowledge. And
Was one of those people me?
No.
Okay.
But they were making stuff up. I mean, they were literally making stuff up. It was based on sound principle. Like, I understood how they could get to that conclusion, but they clearly hadn't tested any of their ideas. And they were completely false. And so what my point about saying that is, and I'm not trying to knock anybody, my point about saying that is, for those of you that are listening, you need to kind of do your homework and even do a little bit of trial and error. Like if said, you know, website or blog or ebook says you can do this, go and try it out before you either say it is true or do it yourself. You know what I mean? And that goes with anything, but, you know, the internet's a crazy place. There's that commercial where the lady says she, you have to believe it because she read it on the internet. And then she's got this French model for a date. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
Big goofy guy. He's a French model. And because he said he was on the internet. Anyway.
Oh,
TV. So that's the end of that. But anyway, I think it's
And cool. I believe it because it was on TV.
There's several of these opportunities available. I would search out and try and find some reviews on the actual course before I go and spend. I mean, even though it's only $5, I mean, maybe for $5 we should go out and do it just to see if we can give a valuable review on it. It might be worth
the price is going up to $10 after this offer period.
Oh my God.
Forget it. Hey, you know who's a teacher of iPhoneography, or probably smartphone photography in that matter, is our very own Bread Geek.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was having a chat with him on Instagram about some of the stuff he was doing. I think he mentioned that he was teaching a smartphone photography class.
Oh, well, we certainly need to get him on then, right?
Absolutely. Well, I told him that we have to all head up to North Conway one day to
he's from the area, right?
Yeah, he's from right. the area, so we
when
gotta
say,
go up there.
Road when I trip. Say the area, those of you listening from outside the area, we mean New England in the United States, New Hampshire, and so forth. Anyway,
here,
yeah, here, our area, not yours.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we were talking pre-show, and my condolences to our one live listener who Mark let in the back door. Jeff.
We got three.
Oh, but Jeff was here worried that Tiny Shutter was shutting the doors. We are not shutting the doors. We were talking pre-show about So we're going to move into our feature here. And our feature today is what we were talking about pre-show, and that is getting into slumps, creative slumps, and, you know, just kind of blah kind of times where you don't want to go out and take pictures. You don't feel like doing any of the creative crap that you normally do. You just want to sit down and watch the Celtics. And I am currently in one of those slumps right now. I was kind of going down that slump hill before Cancun, and Cancun kind of gave me a little bit of a bump out of it, but I kind of fell right back into it where, you know, I mean, I'm in New England and I'm not a cold weather kind of guy. So the cold temperatures outside and I love the snow. It's beautiful as hell, right? But getting outside and taking pictures and so forth is just, I don't know. It's a lot warmer on the couch. The pellets start going. The Celtics are playing, and I get a glass of scotch, and it's like, I just don't feel like I'm. And I'm. And I got my. You know. And here's what happened for the first week of my slump. As I'm in my lazy boy with my feet kicked up and the Celtics on, I'm taking pictures of my socks, and I'm like, okay, I know I'm in trouble now.
You're one of them. That's all good.
So, but anyway, have you guys experienced said type of slump before?
Plenty of times. I'm kind of going through a quasi slump myself. I mean, not anything big. I think it's mostly because of just kind of getting back into the swing of things with wedding photography. So trying to get that back up and running after the winter season has been a pain in the butt. So that's kind of eating away at the time I would spend doing iPhoneography. So, I mean, that's the best I got.
Matt?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of slumps. I think right now my biggest thing has just been coming up with new projects to work on. I guess I'm a little bit disappointed with myself, and I'm not aging very well or whatever. I don't know what it is, but...
You look good to me.
Well, he realizes he's mortal.
Yeah, let me elaborate for a second. But I don't know. I'm having like some shoulder problems. My right shoulder seems to want to dislocate very easily, and
that's good for when you try to get out of handcuffs. I've heard.
Mm.
Oh yeah, tell.
I've seen three movies about it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of movies actually.
It's just one of those things where I had a lot of ideas, especially for winter, some specific pictures that I've been wanting to take, both with the iPhone and with other cameras. And, you know, winter never materialized last year, so
yeah. I
get to do it.
The best winter ever. I had no slump last winter.
And so I was pretty excited to, to get rocking and rolling this winter, but it's too scary for me to go ski. And that's what a majority of the photos that I wanted to create revolved around, was skiing in the mountains. And it's just too much risk. So yeah. I'm kind of a one-track mind person. When I have an idea, it's the only thing I could think about until I do it, and then I can move on to the next thing. So I haven't realized that goal yet of taking those specific ski pictures. So the last few months, I guess, I've been having a really tough time transitioning into something else. But recently I sat down and tried to think, like, you know, what are some other things that don't involve risking my health in the mountains, you know, that I would like to photograph. And I've come up with a couple projects that I'm going to work on. Some of them involve portraiture, and some of them are more, I don't know, still life product shot kind of things. I've actually been inspired a little bit by our friend Joe Ferreira with some of his shots he did last year of some old cameras.
Yeah.
I have a collection out the yin yang of old cameras that are super cool looking. So I'm kind of putting together some backdrops and some lighting and stuff like that. And pretty soon here, I'll have a bunch of photos of all that kind of stuff to share with everybody. And I don't know. I think it just comes down to getting over mental blocks and and just, you know, finding something that interests you and figuring out how can you make a picture out of it.
Grizz in the focus group said, try living in Florida. It's flat, it's green year round, and you can never find urban decay.
definitely warmer though, Grizz.
Yeah, if I lived down there, I would be into underwater photography.
Yeah, you know what? Underwater photography, and I've tried it before. It's one of those inspirational kinds of things because, and that's always one of those things where photography will continue to compel me even after I come out of the slump, because there's always the next step. There's always something else you can do, whether it's still life of cameras or whether it's underwater photography or slow shutter stuff at night or slow shutter stuff during the day or whatever. I mean, there's always somewhere else to go, and if you've run out of things to do, I don't see that happening. That's one of the greatest things about it. It's always been so compelling, is that you can't run out of things to learn in photography, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you mentioned post show one of the weeks prior when I was talking to you, Matt, is you were doing a lot of work with your Sony camera, your mirrorless camera.
I have been, yes.
And you've been doing some phenomenal work. The stuff that you did when you were hiking up the, I think, what was it, Mount Lafayette?
Yeah, in the White Mountains here.
Absolutely breathtaking. And that I mean, love those photos. I showed them to my brother and he, his jaw dropped. He's a bit of a mountain climber too. I think it's important for people who are experiencing a bit of a slump is the importance of putting down the camera. I can't stress that enough. I mean, if you don't have it in you to do something, it's okay to put it down and take a breather, or put it down and pick up something else. Like, for example, I haven't been doing as much photography, but what I have been doing is a lot of drawing on the iPad. I've been doing a lot more drawing and painting than I have been photography in the past few weeks. I mean, anybody who's part of my Instagram will see that it's mostly sketches now. Well, I mean, the past few weeks it's been sketches.
That's I'm sorry to interrupt, Mark. That's actually a great point, because I'm sitting here thinking to myself as you say that, there's some of us who will appreciate what I'm going to say, and some of us will scratch their heads. But I've put down photography. Not put it down, but put it on the side, and in favor of coding recently. And I've been doing a whole bunch of coding and learning about new programs and stuff like that. And it's a very creative, artistic, and it has that technical layer that, I mean, I'm a very technical photographer, so there's a kind of lateral there. And so it's not like I haven't been creating, because I have, and the problem solving and creating and artistic work involved with coding, you know, there's the same kind of, you know, like I said, laterals over to photography with problem solving and creating and making things happen with photography. So I'm still creating, and I think maybe it's just a little bit of a breather. Take a step back and just kind of give it a break and not kind of burn out on it, but just give it a second to rest while you go in and maybe get your gears in line again and spinning, so that you can kind of come back to it with maybe fresh eyes.
I was listening to one of the NPR TED Talks that they have that I've found on iTunes, and I wish I remember who this person's name was, but he was saying how he was a phenomenal poet, and he was saying how he doesn't like the term writer's block, because it implies that, you know, there's something wrong. He was saying how creative people can't create all the time. You have to have that period of not creating in order to be able to create again. I mean, when you're not creating, it's okay not to be creating. You should take that time to just let your batteries drain. Batteries recharge, rather. Ooh. Well, I was thinking of an Android phone. BlackBerry? Anyway, so it's okay to take the time away from that creative process. I mean, you don't have to forget it. You can reflect on it. But just allow yourself the space. And yeah, like you mentioned, Keith, it's, you know, doing something else is like the coding. It seems completely different, but from that creative process, there is a lot of similarity, and it just really helps you keep your mind sharp, because something that you could be doing that's completely different will come and help you when you go back to the photography.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. I don't think creativity like really ever leaves you, like comes and goes. I think it's just a different medium or a different format it kind of moves to, and you have to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
Good points all. All right. Well, that was a good discussion on how we're not doing anything.
We actually have Bread Geek in the chat room here in the focus group.
He owes me a big thank you for the the tweet-peat or the three-peat or whatever you call it when you get two post picks of the week in a row.
Yeah.
He doesn't owe me a thank you. I was just kidding. What's he saying anyway? I'm sorry to interrupt.
He started a Project 365, and that's been helping him a lot through the process. Oh. And I, you know what? I tried that. And
so hard, yeah.
After day five, it was spent.
Oh, it's funny you say that. Let's chat really quick about that. So Mark, you've tried one. Matt, have you ever tried one?
No. Wait, okay. What?
A 365 project where you try and legitimately take one picture every day
because
for a year?
I will end up posting 345 days worth of crap. Yeah.
So, and that's funny you say that because I tried like unofficially. I didn't announce it. I didn't start numbering my photos or anything like that. I just tried to go out and do it, and it was an Instagram-based thing for me. And it was within 2 weeks that I said, okay, well, it's okay if I take a day off on the weekend or if I'm too busy. Because bottom line is, this has to be a legitimate thing. It has to be me actually creating a picture. For me personally, anyway, it has to be me creating a picture and not just taking a picture of my breakfast to post it because I need a picture for today.
Right.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. Yes.
Unless it's a really good breakfast.
I mean, that's what I see the danger being for me, that I'll just be like, oh crap, I didn't take a picture of anything, and I'll just be like, oh, there's a banana.
And I think that's what it, I think that's what it evolves into for a lot of people. I watched a webcast with David Hobby and another photographer, and Hobby was talking about one thing or another, and the other photographer has this photo blog, and he was talking about a 365 project or a photo a day project or whatever he was calling it, and basically that's what it was. He was laying in bed one night and his wife kind of smacked him and said, haven't you gotten your picture up today or something like that? And he's like, oh shit. So he hopped up and went and took a picture of his sneakers that were laying next to the door, you know, just so that he could get a picture uploaded before the end of the night. And it's like, and then he realized it's like, you know, if I'm not going to, if that's all it is, then there's really no value in it. We really, you know,
I don't know. I kind of see a value in that.
Well, I mean, sure. I mean, you could pull value out of it.
No. Here's what I'm getting at is it's something that you can't really see while you're doing it. But at the end of the 365 days, God forbid there's a leap year, it's you get to see your highs and your lows.
You can document just on which days were lazy and which days you had initiative.
It is. And you know what? It's funny you mentioned that. You could probably do some sort of spreadsheet on when you feel most creative and when you feel when you're not. So yeah. I think it would be interesting. I don't have the gumption to do it. But
makes two of us.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I think that there's a lot of value in 365 projects, but I think there has to be an underlying initiative, or at least an understanding of what you plan on getting out of it. Is it going to be, I am going to set my mind to creating actual pieces of work every single day? Or, I mean, and not necessarily, I mean, you could spend a day doing it and that, you know, you could have three or four shots that can last you a few days. Or, I mean, what are your rules and that kind of thing? And where are you willing to draw the lines? And for me, it ended up being, I wanted to, Instagram for me has always been one of those things that's like it's an instigator for creativity for me.
Yeah.
And so I wanted it to be that. I didn't want it to be just me grabbing a photo of something else. And so here I am in this slump right now, and I think I can just as easily assess that I'm in a slump if there's no pictures up there than if there's 35 pictures of my sneakers up there. Does that make sense?
Perfectly. Hey, funny you mentioned this. We finally got word from our Oloclip winner.
Oh, good.
Sweet. Yay. I'll have to contact Oloclip to get him the prize.
Sweet. Yeah, set them up. All right, so let's move into this week's post pick of the week, and this week's turn is Mark.
This and, week is going to be
I believe easy. It's going to be Bread Geek again, right? No.
You know what? It was close, actually. I'm actually going with you, Mr. Hoffman.
What?
That's not legal.
It's fixed.
It's totally fixed. When you showed me that picture of the train engine, I was totally blown away by that, especially listening to the work that you put into it. Basically, it is actually the only photo that I enjoy that is both a black and white and a color photo. So it's one of those, I don't want to say it's selective color, but it's the diesel train. I don't know if anybody could see it in the focus group here on the screen, but you could find him. He is M. Hoffman Photo on Instagram. I don't know if you've heard that before. But basically, the diesel engine is in color, but it's not a very saturated color. It's kind of, it has that muted effect, and it really, really blends well with the black and white that surrounds it. And I just thought it was a really, really powerful photo, and I totally dig it.
It's like you're like in fourth grade, and the teacher has told you to write a 300-word essay, and you're like, "It's really, really awesome, and I really, 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 awesome. Really like it, and it's really, really colorful, but it's really, really not."
I'm all sing-songy about it. Really, really.
I like it.
I really, really like it.
So there you go.
Well, congratulations, Mr. Hoffman.
You win 5 internets.
Oh, wow.
That's an old lens wipe reference. Okay, so who wants to go first with this week's post thing? No, we already did that. Who wants to go first with this week's focus point?
I'll go first. Mine's going to be very quick, too. Basically, I am going to suggest an app called Sketch Club. It is a drawing app that I've been using religiously the past few weeks. It's great on the iPhone, but it's even better on the iPad. You can layer your images. You could take photos. You can trace them. You can do all sorts of interesting artwork. And if you have a stylus, it's even better. So go check that out.
Cool. I want to mention Roger P in the focus group asks about what if you take a picture every day, but at the same time every day of what you're doing that second. There's a photographer here in New Hampshire who's done the 0600 series for 365 days. He's done what he's called his 0600 series, which is taking a picture at 6 a.m. every morning. And his name is escaping me this current second, but I'm sure Mark will put it in the show notes.
Oh, I like what you did there.
but essentially he did that not necessarily in the same place and not necessarily at the exact same time, but he gave himself a window of time around the 0600 hour to photograph the New Hampshire scenery, some portion of New Hampshire scenery, over the course of 365 days. And it was there's just so many tons and tons of amazing shots that he's taken, you know. And if you're from
the, I got to interrupt you there. Grizz in the focus group says, isn't the first rule of Sketch Club is that you don't talk about Sketch Club?
That is the first rule.
I am Jack's absent mind.
Oh, shit. Good one. Anyway, so I'll see if I can't scurry up that info about that particular photographer and ship it out to you guys. I follow the guy on Facebook, so I'll get a link out for you. But anyway, so that's in answer to Roger's question. And so I'll go ahead with my focus point for this week. And my focus point is actually, I had something else in line, but now I'm going to revert back to or skip over to something that Mark reminded me of, and that is TED Talks. If you are not familiar with TED Talks, they are sometimes amazing and sometimes enlightening and sometimes worth watching. It's just, it's really, really great. I haven't found too many TED Talks that I've been like, Jesus, I wish I didn't watch it. It's just a great, great bit of information. They're in little short nuggets of inspiration, and it's worth it, totally worth watching. If nothing else, go over to Facebook and search out TED Talks. I believe you can find it on TEDTalks.com or something like that too.
They even have an iPhone app, so
just some great, really great stuff. And the nice thing about it is, like a lot of things these days, they give it to you in bite-sized little nuggets. Some of them are 3 minutes, some of them are as big as 8 minutes, but I mean, it's always very, very interesting. I watched one a few days ago about a guy from, I don't know, somewhere in a country other than mine. And he was, him and his team were building a next generation of asphalt. And this asphalt was going to be able to be rejuvenated, and they would be able to like self-heal it. It's just like, it's interesting because the amount of effort and energy that some of these people put into their things. I watched another one where there's this 80 something year old guy who is, he starts off like you're like, this guy's a nut, because he's telling you that you should work your entire life. You know, you shouldn't retire. You should work your entire life. And he basically backs it up with reason and why. And by the end of it, you're like, you know what? I really don't want to retire. I really feel like I should be working, because if I stop working, I'm sitting on the couch, or I'm going with the rest of the old folks down to the casino, or I'm just, you know, and he's this active guy who does competitive rowing. He's like, he looks like he's 25 years younger than he actually is. But anyway, he gives you this very inspirational talk about just improving yourself and making sure you get out there and eat healthy. It's really great. But I mean, so TED, I think, stands for technology, education, and design, or something like that. I'm not exactly sure what TED stands for, but you know, there's some of them you could probably say, I'm all set with this one, and other ones, there's tons of photography ones, there's really cool ones. But anyway, so that's my pick of the week. Sorry, I went to, not pick of the week. That's my focus point of the week.
It's all good.
Yeah. And that's it. I'm done talking.
Perfect. How about you, Matt?
This week I have something to tell you about. It is called it's called Mextures. There's a photographer named Merrick Davis, and he has this collection of basically background textures that are a free download, and they're 2,000 by 2,000 pixel squares. And there's 28 different textures, basically. Some of them just kind of look like dusted scratches, like on a black background. And some of them are different colors and kind of psychedelic tie-dye looking things. But they're really, really well done, really super cool. And what he intends for you to do with them is to blend them into other photos that you've taken with your iPhone or whatever you want to do with them. But he has a tutorial video on his website, which is MerrickDavis.com. And he uses PhotoForge 2, which is an iPhone app.
I love that app.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool app. And basically, he uses one of these textures and blends it in with a portrait. And I guarantee, if you watch the 2-minute tutorial, if you're suffering through a slump like we talked about earlier, you'll be pretty psyched about these things, and you'll download them and start playing with them, which is exactly what I did the second that I learned about these things like a week or two ago. They're meant to be used with any app that you could work in layers. So like PhotoForge 2 is a perfect example. My favorite app that enables you to work in layers is FilterStorm. So any app like that, that you could work in layers and, you know, you just experiment with different, blending modes and opacities and stuff like that. And, you know, you might find yourself doing some really cool stuff with these things.
Very cool.
Awesome. Very, very awesome. All right. Well, I think it's time to bring this train into the station. I love saying that. So,
thanks in Matt's everybody. Photo, it's literal.
We will see you again next time. Don't forget to head over to tinyshutter.com for links and information, right, Mark, to today's show. Also head over to facebook.com/tinyshutter. I saw the little delay from your eyes going on. twitter.com/tinyshutter, and basically Tiny Shutter is amazing. And that's it. My name is Keith Tharp, and you can find me at Instagram. Let's just say Instagram at Keith_Tharp. And Mark?
You could find me on Instagram as well. I am LensWipe.
And you could find me on Instagram and Twitter at MHoffmanPhoto.
Delicious. Yeah, sweet. Thanks, guys. And thanks, everybody else, for tuning in. And thanks for bearing with us through all of our ins and outs and absenteeisms. And we will see you again next time.
I kid.
All right. We'll see you later.
Take care, guys.
All right. Good night.
Very boom. Nice. Very cool.
I shouldn't have said goodnight because people might not be listening at night.
Yeah, some people might be listening tomorrow or the next day. They could be listening at night.